Are you looking to connect with a diverse audience of developers? Look no further. You can partner with us here at the Code Newbie Podcast, and we'll help get your message out to our incredible listeners in an ad just like this one, led by me, your host. Contact us by emailing sponsors@codenewbie.org. Welcome to the Code Newbie Podcast, where we talk to people on their coding journey in hopes of helping you on yours. I'm your host, Saran, and before we kick off the show, I want to tell you about our incredible sponsors. Today on the show, I am so excited to have Amy Knight. She is a software developer at Message Systems. Amy, you want to say hi?
Hello.
So tell us a little bit about Message Systems. What is that? What do you guys do?
Sure. In the past, we do email infrastructure, and we were primarily on-premise. So we actually do emails for a lot of really big companies. I don't think a lot of people are aware, but Message Systems, every time you get an email from Facebook or Twitter, LinkedIn, a ton of big companies, like I could go on and on, Groupon, Pinterest, all of those emails are coming through our software. And then we recently just launched a product called SparkPost, which is what I primarily work on now. And that is the on-premise software, but in the cloud now. So Pinterest is actually one of the cloud platforms that we do.
Very cool. So it's not a startup. It's a little more established than that.
Yeah, we say we're a startup, but definitely been around for a while.
It is cool to be a startup.
Yeah, I mean, I think the atmosphere is a little bit like that. They do have an office in San Francisco. I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. They also have an office in Seattle. So it's pretty well established at this point. But we do a lot of the fun stuff. Like we'll have lunch on Thursdays and that sort of thing. So
nice. Catered food is just the best at a work.
It is. I'm really a healthy eater, so I don't always eat everything, but it is nice. They do a lot of fruit and stuff in the office, so I'm always eating all that.
So I'm so excited to have you on because we've been doing newbie stories and kind of focusing a lot of the interviews on people who have recently made the transition from non-technical into technical, which is kind of what you did. I think it was about a year ago, if I remember that correctly, where you kind of took the plunge and decided to become a software developer. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So it's coming up on a year when I finished the boot camp. I was introduced to my first Hello World HTML maybe 2 years ago. I spent a good while before I did the boot camp trying to teach myself. I started a second bachelor's degree, which I've since decided isn't the best option.
In computer science or something else?
It was information technology. It was actually, they had a really cool program at the University of Massachusetts where if you already had a bachelor's degree, you could get one in IT with 10 more classes. So that was,
that's not bad.
You know, sounded really good. And you could pick and choose the courses you wanted, which was really nice. But after taking two of those courses, I decided to go the bootcamp route.
So what happened there? Why was it that after just two courses you said, I don't know about this?
Well, the first one was DHTML. So yeah. As someone new, I was I'm learning JavaScript. But as I was simultaneously doing a lot with Treehouse and Code School, kind of realized that the stuff I was learning was really outdated. And then too, I think, the pace just wasn't fast enough and, the stuff I wanted to be learning, I was really into Ruby on Rails at the time. They just didn't offer anything like that. So
it was almost by exploring this world on your own through Treehouse and I'm sure other tools that you were able to kind of pinpoint where you wanted to go and what you wanted to focus on.
Yeah, I even, fooled around a little bit with WordPress. I was in Savannah, Georgia at the time, and a friend of my husband's had a marketing agency, and he was just kind of pumping out WordPress sites. So I started just doing some custom CSS type stuff and customizing WordPress stuff, and then started going to some meetups in Savannah and some people there kind of said, you might want to check out this Ruby on Rails thing instead. So, you know, that's how I kind of got into that. There wasn't much in Savannah at the time, so I actually drove 4 hours to go to a, it wasn't Rails, I did Rails Girls in Atlanta, which was like 4 hours, and then I also did, I can't think of the other Rails one. It's like Rails Girls.
I'm
yes, thank you. I also did Rails Bridge in Orlando at Code School. So I was just like super hungry to learn and just like going all out, trying to like just consume as much as I could, and just didn't matter. I was like all for, you know, spending the night in Orlando and driving there just to go learn more.
So I feel like I need to make a map of all the places that you went in order to learn to code. So I've heard Michigan, I've heard Atlanta, Savannah, Orlando, Nashville, and now you're in Baltimore.
Well, Michigan, I was born in Chicago, so maybe that's where the Michigan came in.
Okay. I'm adding that one. I'm like writing this down. I'm adding Chicago to the list. Okay, go.
So I was born in Chicago, and maybe I should get into the figure skating thing.
Let's do that.
So I spent probably like the first 15 years of my life as a competitive figure skater.
Wow, and that's a while.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was my life. It was just tons of sacrifices for it. And I can't, you know, this kind of like why in college I didn't do something different. I think the plan was for me just to coach the rest of my life. And that was great. I really enjoyed coaching. But I don't know, like somewhere in my junior year in college, I just thought, oh, you know, I don't know about this. Like everybody else is, you know, going out and getting these cool jobs. And, you know, I kind of want to do something different too.
I don't know. Figure skating sounds like a pretty cool job. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. But, and there's not, you know, rinks everywhere. So when I met my husband, there wasn't a rink.
Oh, that's a good point.
And that's when I started exploring other options and fell into programming. But circling back, so that's where, you know, up north came in, and then back in the south. I followed my coach actually from Chicago down to the south. Her husband got transferred and decided to move with her, and my parents came on after that. So I think there's just this like overwhelming theme in my life of just like going all out for stuff.
That's awesome. So yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the figure skating and how that influenced your experience as a developer. So one thing that you talked about just now is kind of going all out. Tell us a little bit about what that looks like in figure skating and what that looked like learning to code.
So skating, I think it really set the pace in my life, like in this like sense of discipline and work ethic. You know, even in high school, you know, all my friends were just like going out and, you know, staying out late and had boyfriends and all this stuff. And I just was always, you know, had this very structured life, and I enjoyed it. It wasn't like anything, you know, I was forced to do, but, you know, I didn't date a lot. I didn't go out much. I really skated all the time. And then I think, you know, after college, I was doing marketing type stuff and not skating anymore and just really looking for something else in life. I think I learned as I got older, my personality just did better when I had goals in front of me, and just striving for stuff just really makes up a lot of my personality. So I started exploring all this different stuff and took a bunch of personality tests, and you know, I was looking at other options like physical therapy because I was really into being fit and active. But for whatever reason, like these personality tests I was taking, they kept pointing at programming.
Really?
I was like, what in the world? Like, why programming? You know, I like work on a computer, and I had messed around with Expression Engine a little bit and like some graphic design type stuff, but, you know, just hadn't really considered programming and just took the plunge. And I had worked with some developers at work in marketing because I did like project management type stuff, and they just felt I'd be good at it. So I went after it, and lo and behold, after like a month, I was like, this is really cool. I'm addicted.
So your personality test actually pointed you in the right direction.
It did. It did. Yes.
Okay. You have to tell us what those tests were and how we can all take them. Because I think all of the ones, let me see, when I, because I did that too in college, I think senior year, I was like, what am I doing in my life? And I took a couple of those and I think they told me I should be a teacher and something else that I would never want to do as a career. And I was very disappointed. So I'm very happy that it totally worked out for you. That's awesome.
It did. Yeah, it did. I think I took the Myers-Briggs one. I'm not positive, but okay. Yeah.
I probably took one of those like free ones you see online that's like, we'll tell you what to do with your life. And I'm glad I didn't listen. So you touched on programming. Where was the starting point for you? Was the first thing that you did sit down with a programmer at your job and, you know, look at what they were doing? Or did you start at Treehouse? Or what was the first step?
The very first thing for me was, you know, I was working in marketing. Like I had said, we had this expression engine site and just got tired of asking the developers to update these simple things on the site, like our address. I think the company had moved. And I just decided one night, okay, I'm tired of asking. I'm going to figure this out myself. So I started digging into HTML, and then I ended up telling the developer at work what I had done in a good way. And he said, oh, you should totally check out Treehouse. Hmm. So then I started looking at Treehouse, and, you know, one thing led into another. And that's when I started exploring the second bachelor's.
Very nice. So you actually got a scholarship for Treehouse.
I did. I think it was at the time. It was. I don't remember if I had to write anything or if it was just random. It really may have just been random. So I'm not sure I would like put too much like weight in that.
Okay, but that was your first like online learning for learning to code.
Yeah, Treehouse. I think I did get a scholarship to Rails Girls. They had like limited amount of people they could offer. So I had to write a little bit for that.
Okay, cool. So you did Treehouse. You looked into getting another bachelor's. You took two courses. You said, this isn't right. You guys are too old and have old material and I need the new stuff. And then what did you do?
So like I said, then I started digging more into Treehouse, and probably, you know, at that time, my husband started exploring like all these boot camps and stuff because he knew I was into learning to code, and he was like, man, you really should look at doing one of these. So
had you heard of boot camps before that?
I had, but, my personality, you could say, I don't know, I hate the whole like imposter thing, but I just thought, you know, I would never try to go to a boot camp. Like, I can't do this. This is not for me. I'm not good enough. Like, no one would ever accept me.
So that to me is very interesting, because based on what I know of you just from this conversation, boot camp sounds like the perfect thing for you, because it really is like an all in, you know, 12, 16 hours a day coding type of opportunity. You know, it seems like right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I was all about that aspect, but I think my personality, sometimes, like, I'm a little bit timid. I don't know, like, I have maybe a confidence problem is what people have told me. I feel bad saying that, but maybe other people should hear that too. So I kind of had this, like, confidence problem, but my husband was like, you know, you need to do this. I think you can do it. You'll be fine. So I put in some applications to a few and initially had decided on one, but here goes the like all out thing. I drove like for 2 days, had the car packed up, you know, a place to live, everything for one boot camp. And I got there and decided, after talking to some people, that I didn't think it was going to be hard enough.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. At that point, I had like really invested a fair amount of time on my own learning. So I really felt like I had a lot of the basics nailed down. So I drove back home 2 days. It was not a good car ride by myself, just like disgruntled and, you know, what do I do now? And that's when I decided to reapply to this one boot camp that I had really, really wanted to go to all along because it was 6 months. And that's the one I went to in Nashville.
And that's the Nashville Software School.
Yes.
Okay. So I think it's really funny that you felt like you weren't good enough to, you know, go to a boot camp, and then you drove for 2 days, and then once you got there, you're like, wait a minute, this isn't even like good enough for me. That's awesome. That's great.
This is, well, I wouldn't maybe put it like that. I definitely didn't have that attitude. My attitude was just like, I really want to be pushed as hard as I can while I'm here. And if they're going to be covering material for a good portion of it, material that I was already familiar with, then, you know, I wanted to make the most of my money.
No, I love that. That's great. That's absolutely what you should do. So my question is, how do you evaluate a boot camp when you got there? You know, who did you talk to? Where did you go? How did you come to the conclusion of, you know what, maybe this isn't a good fit for me?
I talked to probably the graduates from there, and was always like very respectful about it. You know, one thing, so I was on JavaScript Jabber, and they kind of talked to me about this. One thing that I think, like, you know, stinks a little bit is, like, learning to code is fun and awesome, but it's also really challenging and hard. And I think there's, like, people kind of glamorize it a little bit, and they try to, like, have this, it's kind of, like, hip now. So as I was, like, looking at these boot camps, I was just really careful to pick one that just didn't, like, they didn't go out and party a lot. Like, the focus was on learning to code. The focus wasn't, you know, on, like, going out and drinking and happy hour and stuff.
Wait,
like, that.
Do boot camps actually do that?
I don't know. So the one that I, you know, had initially planned on going, they were, like, had all this stuff planned out already. And I was just like, well, what about the, like, actual coding portion? Now, I think that, I think this has definitely changed since I was there. So, but I think as far as evaluating, you know, you want one where they're going to actually interview you before you get there, because, and you also want one where, you know, they're somewhat selective, because you don't want to be in a situation, I just think with the amount of money you're spending to go to this stuff, you want as much out of it as possible, and you don't want to have to, like, start at level zero of learning the basics of, you know, HTML or CSS or JavaScript, because that, I really feel, is stuff that you can learn on your own. Mm-hmm. I feel like you want to get to a point where you're actually doing some programming and, you know, bumping up against, you know, some more challenging problems, and, like, just getting in that programming mindset of problem solving, rather just, like, copying HTML and CSS, because that's the portion where you're going to need mentorship and help.
I completely agree with that. Yeah, I think that a lot of the very basics you can learn on your own. Like, there's so many free and relatively cheap online resources that you can cover that. And I feel like if you're going into a bootcamp experience where it's very expensive financially, but also just in terms of time, you know, 6 months without a salary isn't easy. And if you're going to do that, then I definitely think that you shouldn't be going, or you shouldn't go with no experience at all. Like, I think you're kind of wasting the opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. And even to that point, it's not to say that for people who, like, a boot camp isn't an option for them. You can totally teach this stuff to yourself, and you can totally do it without a boot camp. I think for me, I was just really fortunate that I had, you know, the resources to do that, because I think, as one mentor put it for me, I was just really trading, like, time for money. He totally felt I could do this on my own, but by going to a boot camp, I was just going to, you know, make that process go much faster.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I describe it, too. Like, I think that if I hadn't done a boot camp, I think it would have taken me an extra year, maybe more.
Yeah.
To get to that point, and I'm just not a patient person.
So. Yes, nor am I.
Okay, so you did the Nashville Software School. What was that experience like for people who haven't done a boot camp or don't know much about it? What was your, you know, day in the life of Amy Knight during that time?
So the boot camp I went to, and maybe it's like this for all of them, you know, a good portion of it is you're going to get out what you put in. So they're not going to force you to do anything. They will kick you out if you don't meet certain expectations, like not showing up for class or not doing basic assignments or not, you know, working well with others. But, you know, as far as your schedule, so some of that's up to you. For me personally, like I said, because I just wanted to get as much out of this as possible. I mean, I, you know, left home and, you know, moved away from my husband temporarily to go to this. So while I was there to program. So I didn't really do much else besides that. But typically, I think we were in class from, I want to say, like 9 to 5-ish. But then, you know, of course, doing stuff at night on your own. And on the weekends, tons of group projects. So pretty much every weekend, we would just, you know, hang out at a coffee shop or whatever with our group. And the way that the boot camp I went to was structured, because it was 6 months, we did 3 months of Node and JavaScript and then 3 months of Ruby on Rails. And the front half of the program was definitely super, super intense. I'm not sure if you actually know the instructor, because I think he taught at Flatiron School before he came to, it was Child Medford?
No, I don't think so.
No. But anyway, so he is just like super, super intense. And that was, you know, at the time, I think some of us were like, oh my gosh, this is crazy intense. They actually had to like break the cohort out into three groups because, you know, the levels of the people there just weren't all the same. And he just like was not going to slow down, which in hindsight, that's awesome, because I'm glad that we didn't slow down. I'm glad, you know, that, you know, they were able to break us up so that, you know, the people with a little more experience could keep going. But then the second half of the portion, or the second half of the boot camp, was definitely a little bit slower paced and gave you time to kind of absorb the first 3 months a little bit more. And we got into like a little bit more just basic computer science stuff.
How did you feel about the length of time? I think most boot camps are, you know, 9 to 12 weeks, but yours was double that. Yours was, you know, 6 months. How did you feel about that?
So that's another reason why I really had wanted to go to that one. I had wanted to go to that one or G School all along because of the time. Just same thing, you know, I'm spending this money. I want to get as much out of it as possible. And kind of going back to my confidence stuff a little bit, I just was like, you know, the more assurance I can get that, you know, I'm going to come out on top after all of this, I thought that the 6 months would just, you know, further solidify that.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you. I think that, you know, especially the boot camps that are, I think I may have seen one for 8 weeks. That's just ridiculous. Like, yeah. I don't understand how you learn anything in 8 weeks.
And I think, too, unfortunately, like, the market is somewhat flooded with junior developers at this point. Maybe depends on what region of the country you're in, but, you know, there's so many boot camps popping up that, you know, the fact that it was 6 months, I just felt, okay, you know, this is something I can maybe do to separate myself a little bit, just like whatever I can do to like get ahead of that pack a little bit, not to make it competitive, because
it's always, you know, a competition.
Well, like it is, I think we all can like help each other to get where we want to get, and all grow and learn from each other, but it is just like there's so many junior developers right now that you know 3 years ago, maybe like that bar wasn't quite as high as it would be for boot campers now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. So when you did graduate, did you feel more confident than you did when you first started? How was that kind of like emotional journey for you? Oh, it didn't go down, did it?
No, it definitely went up at the boot camp. I think so. Another really great part of the boot camp was learning with others rather than in a vacuum. Learning with others helped me realize that, you know, some of this stuff is kind of hard, and, you know, I'm not the only one who is going to have to, you know, work at this. Like, it doesn't come super easy. Like, I think some people think like, oh, you're just born learning, you're just born and you know how to program. you know, I was able to see that, you know, we all worked really hard at this, and we all, you know, maybe got tripped up on some of the same stuff. So I would say my confidence out of the boot camp was actually really high.
That's great.
So much so that I just interviewed at a ton of places and was kind of able to pick where I wanted to go after graduation. But in working, I quickly realized that the world is way bigger than I ever imagined. Mm-hmm. So I guess my confidence is like probably back to a healthy dose now. It's just, it's so up and down. I don't, maybe your experience is the same, but it's been like very up and down, and you're just always like, I've just learned, my saying now is like, just get comfortable being uncomfortable. And that's a healthy thing, because if you're comfortable, like the saying goes, you're probably not in the right room.
Mm, I like that. Yeah, I completely agree. Like, there are days when I feel like an absolute boss and I'm just, you know, just killing it. And then there are days when I'm like, I am the worst programmer to ever walk the face of this earth.
So, aww.
Yes. It's a huge emotional roller coaster. I respect, you know, I think that, because, you know, at Thoughtbot, I work with a lot of developers who are very experienced and very senior.
Yeah.
And to me, what is most intriguing is how even... it's like how like even tempered everyone is. Like, I get very frustrated and very excited. And when I work with other people who are much more experienced, they are kind of calm no matter what happens. And I think that part of the, you know, part of the skill that I hope to be good at one day is not internalizing either one and just kind of being able to just emotionally detach from the
yeah.
code that you write. And I yeah. hope that that comes over time.
Yes. Yeah, I think the boot camp is great, but one of the biggest downfalls, I think, so like I work at a software company rather than like a consultancy, and coming onto a code base that was just so large, I had never like really imagined a code base this large, was the confidence thing. Like I'm yeah. used to like these Rails apps where I can, you know, kind of, you know, get my bearings and figure out where everything is. And like with Node too, it's a little bit of the Wild West because everybody structures their applications a little bit differently. And we just have like, dependencies upon dependencies, and just the infrastructure of the whole system was just crazy. I think there's people that have been at my company for like 3 years that still don't understand like the complete ins and outs.
Mm.
So
yeah, I remember in boot camp, you know, we just did our first Rails app. I was feeling really good. You know, I had my like three models and my like, you know, three controllers, and you know, I thought I was like a hot shot. And then I remember Avi showing us the code base for one of his like startups that he used to work on, and I was just floored. I was just like shocked at just how big they were. So oh my. Amy, there were so many views, there were so many templates, there were so many controllers, and I was like, how did this happen? You know, like, I just don't understand how that happened. So I completely understand the overwhelming feelings that you must have had walking into, you know, the first day and saying, oh, this is the app I'll be working on.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, I think it's like one thing, in the boot camps, we build our own applications, so we know all the code. You know, maybe we don't know the ins and outs of the dependencies completely, but we at least like know where they plug in. Whereas you're like walking onto this big code base and it's just like, oh my Lord, where do I begin?
So where did you begin? What was the first step in getting used to that?
I guess, I mean, nobody really told me to take this approach, but the approach I took as far as like what tickets I was going to work on, I was really excited to dive into Angular because like it's completely different than Rails, but it's the same in Rails as in like it's a somewhat opinionated framework. So I thought, okay, like I mastered, not okay, not mastered, but you know, I felt like I had a pretty good hang of Rails, and I was like, okay, I feel like, you know, I'm just gonna, whatever I did to learn Rails, I'm gonna apply that to learn Angular. So that's what I did. But as far as like actual tips on learning a really big code base, I think an awesome way to learn a code base is to go through and read the tests. So in each of our APIs, I just went through and started reading the tests. And then a really good thing, I think, is to just start breaking the code and see what happens when it breaks. And then it is like a good way to, you know, follow a path of what depends on what, and just helps you learn, you know, the infrastructure by seeing what's breaking when you just go and randomly put console logs in places and take yeah. stuff out.
Interesting. Yeah. One of the, I love that, like using tests as kind of, it's almost like documentation if you do the test right, and it kind of tells you literally how it's supposed to work and what's
yes.
supposed to happen when it doesn't work. So that's definitely
yeah.
a great place to start. Yeah. I've also found at some points it helpful to take on a really, really small feature, ideally one that touches a lot of parts of the code base. And as I work through that one feature, it allows me to kind of figure out how things work and, you know, how it's all positioned. Have you done that before? Has that been helpful to you?
Maybe not so. I didn't. That's a good idea, though. I think I did end up like doing a lot of Angular, and I think in hindsight, I've learned like maybe I enjoy doing more of the API tickets because so like the place I work on, the stuff I work on is full stack. So we do the API and the web UI. But by doing the API, like I feel like I understand more the internals, whereas the web UI, you know, it's cool to like learn more about Angular, but I actually learn more of like the domain specific stuff by working on more of the API side of things.
Yeah, cool. So let's take a step back before you actually started at Message Systems. Let's talk about the job interview process. You said you interviewed at a bunch of different places. How many places did you apply to?
I don't know. Maybe I didn't really go through like the formal application process, but I think I talked to like maybe 5 different places. They're all Rails places except for the place where I ended up. So do you want me to talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, go for it.
So I had met like a really awesome mentor, and I had thought about like maybe working with him. So that was an option that, you know, he had put on the table for me to explore. But he wasn't. So I found out when I was in the boot camp that my husband was getting relocated to Baltimore. So that kind of like put a wrench in things.
How do you like Baltimore, by the way? I'm from Maryland.
I know. I think you're from here. I do. I like it. We actually live downtown, which is pretty cool. So I live like a couple blocks from the harbor, which is really fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like it. I'm like looking out over Inner Harbor from my room right now. It's really nice. So I mostly was looking at Ruby on Rails stuff, and I do think like the number one thing is to get an awesome network. So when I was in when I was in Nashville, I started emailing places in Baltimore, like different people that I saw online, and just asking for their advice and input. And I met 2 just incredible developers like over Twitter and over email that really helped me out here. I sent them my resume and sent them a link to my GitHub, and they just kind of took it upon themselves to contact people they knew that would be interested in hiring me. So, I mean, I'm just like so immensely grateful for that. Like, that's the kind of stuff that just makes me appreciate this community so, so much. Like, people are just go out of their way to do nice things a lot of times.
So in that context, why do you think that was? Was it just that you happened to meet really great people? Was it the way that you presented yourself? Like, what do you think moved them to help you out in that way?
Combination of both. I definitely like my marketing background and my you know, the discipline from skating definitely helps in that. I really try to, you know, have a polished you know, approach when I come to people, and I think like the overwhelming thing that I've seen as I've been on this journey is just I have a lot of energy. And I've been told by people that it's like, it's contagious. So like, I guess I'm just really fortunate that people have wanted to help. So it's somehow that combination of that. Just working really, really hard. I think like people recognize people that work really hard and they want to help. So that process was really just me contacting these 2 individuals and them emailing out to different people, and so I was able to get in touch with different people. But all along, I really wanted the job where I'm at now. So I had like 2 other offers, but the interview, I had 3 interviews for the place I'm at now, and the final interview was like 3 hours with 6 different people, and it was just crazy intense. And I went into the interview, I was just really, really super nervous the week before, but I think a couple of days before, I was like, you know what, I had talked to my mentors and I thought, okay, like I have two opportunities. I have nothing to lose, really. Like, I want to view this job as not the end all be all. I want to view it as, you know, where am I going to learn the most? And, you know, whatever will be, will be. Like, the whole reason I decided to start programming was not because I was like desperate to get a new job or something like that. Like, I just had to come back to why I wanted to do this. And the reason I wanted to do this was because it was fun and it was challenging in a good way. And, you know, whatever would be, would be. So maybe that helped put me in like a good, calm mindset when I went into this like 3-hour intense interview.
Yeah, that is a really good mindset. That's such a great way of looking at the situation. And, yes. You know, so it's such a great way to kind of get back the control that you might not feel like you have.
Yes, and trust me, I definitely needed a little bit of help there. So yeah. I had like awesome mentors who were like, you know, take a deep breath.
Yeah, definitely. So what was the interview process like for you? Was it a lot of technical questions? Was it more just, you know, casual conversations about your life? You know, what kind of questions did you get? Yeah.
Oh, man,
I had so many conversations about my life. It's insane. It's gotten to the point where I'm just like, yeah, so I drew a cartoon about my life. Could I just send you a link to that? That's so much easier.
Let's see. So the first interview with the company I'm at now, it was a phone screen, and I did this while I was at the boot camp. So I can remember, like, in the middle of lecture, I told our instructor, I was like, I have a phone screen, you know, I'm going to need to step out for an hour. And I just thought it was, like, super casual. I thought, you know, oh, this guy is just going to, like, you know, ask me, you know, the typical interview questions. Well, I was, like, very, very wrong.
Oh, I've also been wrong. It is the worst feeling ever.
Well, and this was, like, the very first, like, actual any kind of programming interview I had been on at this point. And the first question out of his mouth was, like, explain the prototype chain in explain classes in JavaScript. So I was like, well, and I mean, I guess luckily at this point, I'm the kind of person who, like, when I understand something, I need to understand it at a very deep level for it to, like, really stick. So luckily I was prepared for the question.
Oh, good. Like, you just yes. happened to have reached that point and you just knew that answer because you'd internalized it.
Yeah, I did. Like, was something I was super obsessed with learning because it can be kind of confusing. And I was like, I am not going to finish this JavaScript portion without, like, fully understanding this to the point where I can explain it to someone correctly. So I was, as much as I was, like, totally scared, I was really prepared for it. But I was also like, man, this is what I was expecting on my third interview, not my first interview. So after that, I had another, like, HR screen, which is your typical questions. But at this point, now I'm on the third interview. I'm like, oh my gosh, if the first interview started off with the prototype chain, I am terrified what the third interview is going to be like. Yeah. And it was intense. But like I said, I went in with just trying to have a healthy mindset of what will be, and preparing by, you know, trying to be explicit about what I don't know, or explicit about what I do know. But then if they ask me a question I don't know, don't beat around the bush. Just say, I don't know, but I am super excited to learn this.
Yep.
I've
used that phrase so many times.
Yeah, so that was just really good advice from a lot of mentors, because, you know, if you're talking to someone who knows more than you, they're going to know immediately when you don't understand something. So the interview process at that point was, they had like some trick JavaScript questions, which I think I did, like, you know, okay on. I didn't do awesome, but I didn't do terrible. And then they had, they asked me just kind of questions, I think, to gauge my excitement and how hard I would work. And then they had like a problem solving portion, which, you know, wasn't too bad. I think the same advice that you hear a lot, which is, you know, you just, they kind of just want to see how you talk through something. They're not looking for a right or wrong answer. They just want to see your thought process. So, you know, the approach I took with that is just like to try to ask a lot of questions along the way. And, you know, you can only do what you can do. So, but I think as far as junior developers, I think one of the big reasons that I got the job was because I was also, this is like the first time that they ever considered somebody from a boot camp. Like most of the people I work with all have, you know, traditional computer science degrees. All the other juniors have a traditional computer science degree. But I think that they were just super impressed with like my passion and energy and the fact that like I already knew some stuff about ES6 and you know, the typical stuff that you wouldn't necessarily know from graduating college.
How much of the questions you got right and the things that you knew in those conversations came from you preparing for the interview versus things that you had already learned and internalized from, you know, boot camp or Treehouse or wherever the source of knowledge was?
I think like the actual like JavaScript questions was probably me preparing, because the boot camp was more about like building applications and that sort of thing. I think a lot of places like will look at your GitHub or ask you to build an application. It really just depends on the company. They did ask after the interview to take a look at my GitHub, but so as far as the boot camp, that helped. But the actual interview questions, I mean, the bootcamp helped in a sense that it, you know, just gave me like a broader knowledge, but just like these trick JavaScript questions, I don't know that the bootcamp like got into the ins and outs of JavaScript. It just got into like building applications, I guess, where you can kind of like learn the ins and outs of JavaScript on your own.
So did you know the ins and outs, or the ones that you did you know that because you took that initiative and you just wanted to learn it, or were you learning it specifically to do well in the interview?
Oh, no. Like, definitely, once I decided after the boot camp that I wanted to focus on, you know, JavaScript, that's when I started, like, really focusing more on, like, some of these, like, you know, differences in the language that are a little bit different than other languages.
So one thing that I personally struggle with, and I think that a lot of other code newbies think about as well, is focusing on or deciding when to dive deep into a concept and when to kind of like let it go and move on to, you know what I mean, like other tools or other features. Yeah. So how do you personally make that decision? How do you decide I'm going to like understand everything about, you know, prototypes and JavaScript versus saying, maybe not now, maybe I'll learn more about like the Angular framework, for example.
Yeah. Oh man, that's a hard question to answer. Mm-hmm. I think it just takes like a little bit of introspection, if you can, into yourself. And it probably takes just being cognizant of the situation that you're in. So when you are teaching yourself and learning, you have the luxury of taking your time to really understand something at a deep level. But on the job, things are moving at a pretty fast pace. You don't always have that. So you need to just, like, sometimes you need to just take it at face value and say, okay, this is what it is, and move on. But maybe on your own is when you can dive a little bit deeper. But as far as knowing, probably just have to, like, understand the situation and deadlines and that sort of thing.
Yeah, lots of information to consider.
That's a hard question.
Yeah. And so when you do decide to dive deeper into a topic, where do you start? Do you grab a more senior developer and say, hey, can you tell me about this? Do you go straight to Google? Do you have kind of go-to books and resources? Where do you start?
Well, I definitely don't usually go straight to a person. I definitely try to understand it on my own. I think it helps to kind of know the way that you learn best. And the way that I think I like to learn is I like to try to read, reading like different tutorials and like watching a video or something. So I'll usually try to read up on the topic and then start writing some code to try to get that stuff into my brain that I read. Just by reading sometimes, you know, you can like come in and go straight back out. So by actually like writing the code, and I think like I will just, you know, I don't use my GitHub as like this big resume. I just kind of use it as source control a lot of time. So
which is kind of what it's for, to be honest.
So I will like just have these code samples and just like put a ton of comments in there, like stepping through the code as I'm reading these tutorials. So that's kind of like the approach I take. And then if after that point there's still a concept that I just like have problems with, then I will go to a mentor or try to like grab somebody at lunch and be like, hey, you know, you have 10 minutes to like help me understand this topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before we move on to rapid fire fill in the blanks, is there any advice that you have for people going through the interview process and who are looking for that first job and hoping to get it pretty soon?
Yeah, I think my advice is like, you know, to make sure this is something that you're super passionate about, because it's really fun, but it's also really hard. So if you're like just super passionate about problem solving, then like just go for it and, you know, try not to get discouraged. Just keep going. I guess my advice is to try to keep up your energy and enthusiasm, because I think that really, really helps in the community. So that's my number one advice, is to just try to be enthusiastic. Maybe it's not something you can force, but if you can somehow channel it, that's been my key.
Yeah, I think it's a lot easier to keep up that enthusiasm when you're doing it with other people.
Yes, right? Yes, totally.
Which you talked about with like the boot camp, you're not doing it in a vacuum. And so in our case, you know, we have Code Newbie.
Yes.
We're more than available for you to use. We have Slack and our forums. And so definitely take advantage of all the awesome people like Amy who would love to see you succeed.
Totally. I mean, like, I don't know that the Twitter chat was there when I was doing all this, but man, if it was, I would have like been glued every week.
Very cool. So next, let's move on to rapid fire fill in the blanks. Are you ready?
Sure.
Number one, worst advice I've ever received is?
So this is like twofold for me. The worst advice I received was to like code all night, don't sleep, just keep going, you know, do it all the time. And then the flip side, like, you have to take a weekend off. You have to give your mind a break. I think that those two black and white answers are the worst advice. I think you have to be smart about what you're doing, and you have to just be intelligent about it and yourself personally. Like, if you are tired, like, maybe you're not tired of programming, maybe you're just tired of the particular problem you're working on. So if you're, you know, code newbie and you want to get better, maybe you're just like sick of JavaScript and you don't understand something, so you take a break and you start doing some CSS, or you start learning some SQL. So you don't necessarily have to like take a big break from programming if you, you know, are burned out. But if you're truly just like tied to the computer, like I sometimes have a problem with, like my husband has threatened to change the password on my computer, then maybe you need to take the advice of like just completely stepping away.
What has that been like for you, given that, you know, your previous profession was very like physical, like you were not at a screen all day, you were like, you know, moving around, and then now you're just sitting down all the time. How's that been?
That has been a challenge for me. I am pretty high energy, and like I have a really bad habit of fidgeting around in my chair. I have a like a standing platform that I got at home, but I'm like embarrassed to take it to work because no one else does this. I think for the first time this week, somebody asked me what a burpee was, so I got out of my desk and started doing burpees.
Wait, what's a burpee? I don't know what that is.
A burpee is, I guess it's like a CrossFit move where you like jump up in the air and try to touch the ceiling, and then you go down and you do a push up, and you like do that over and over again.
I have seen that. I didn't know that's what that was called. Wait, why is it called a burpee?
I don't know. Maybe because like if you do it a lot, it makes you not burp. Feel good.
If you do this right, you should burp every time. That's how this works.
But I do, like, I run 4 miles before I go to work every morning. So I gotta like expend that energy somehow.
That's awesome. Number two, my first app was about?
So I tried to think about this. Like, I have all these little bitty apps, but I think the first, like, real app that I was like, hey, I, like, built something. This is kind of cool. I made a little Sinatra app that called out to this pet API where you could, like, plug in all this different information, like your zip code or whatever, and would bring back results for adoptable pets in your area.
Aww.
So that was
that's so cute.
Yeah, I love animals. So that was the first app that I was like kind of proud of. And I think I desperately need to update my blog. I'm pretty sure that's still on my blog. So. Oh, well, whatever.
Did you show it to anyone? Anyone use it?
I mean, obviously, like at the time, I was like, I have to like show this to everyone. I think like I put it on my Facebook profile, and I think I told my husband, I was like, oh, you should share this with your friends. This is so cool.
What did he say?
Oh, he was like all about it too. Oh, he's great. He's helping. And
that's like, he sounds like such a great partner.
He is. He's good.
Number three, one thing I wish I knew when I first started to code is?
I'm trying to think. I think I'm really fortunate with the job that I ended up, but talking to some other junior developers, I think it's important if you can to like try to be selective about where you work. If you can, like sometimes you just need to take that first opportunity just to get your foot in the door. But I think like not all software jobs are created equal. So I think it would be important to try to find a company that values testing, a company where you're going to have mentorship, a company that has like coding standards, code reviews, that sort of thing. I've talked to some friends who at their companies, they don't have any of this kind of thing. And there's kind of like programming off by themselves. And
oh my goodness, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, they can ask. They can ask for help like from time to time. But then like they'll work on this big problem and their developer will like come back, or you know, a senior developer will come back like sometimes like a month later. But I think at that point you've already kind of like gone down this path, and you know, just like those things are like I had said, the testing and coding standards and mentorship, code reviews, those things are just really, really, really important. And like, if we care about a craft, then we want to produce good code. And as someone new to programming, all those things in place will just help you grow faster and produce less bugs and learn more. So as you're looking for first jobs, like try to focus on those types of things.
Very cool. And is that the reason why you decided to go with your company? Like, do they have those things, or were there other parts of it that really attracted you to it?
So the company I had all had those things, and those were all very important to me. Like, testing was really important to me because we learned that in the boot camp, and I really wanted to be at a place that did testing. But for me, I don't know. I was just – the teacher that we had at the boot camp was just – he had that contagious enthusiasm about JavaScript, and it definitely wore off on me. So I was just super excited about working with Node and Angular. So was like one of the big reasons why I ended up where I ended up, but that's what I wanted to work on.
Sounds good. So next, let's do some shout-outs. Do you have a couple for us?
Sure. So like I had talked about at the beginning of the call, I've been working at work on this product with, you know, the team called SparkPost. So I was going to use that as my first shout out. So if there's any like people listening that want to go create an account, we're also working on Heroku integration right now. So you can shortly be able to use this with Heroku. But for now, you can just go to like sparkpost.com and you can create a free account and you can start sending emails from your application. So that's my first shout out. So you can like use the application that I helped build.
That's awesome. Yeah.
You know, crazy. Anyways, and then my second pick, I went to ngConf this year. It was like my first really big conference, and there were tons of great talks, but one talk in particular wasn't like totally programming related. But it was a talk by one of the Angular core team members, Igor, and it was about meditation and mindfulness. Are you like familiar with this talk at all?
It sounds familiar, but I don't remember if I've watched it.
So it just really struck me. Like, he talked in the talk about, I feel like, so many things that have gone through my mind where, you know, you're programming along and sometimes you come up against these problems and you just start to like question, you know, should I really be doing this? You know, am I cut out for this? And yep. I'm just like, man, like an Angular core team member has these thoughts. This is crazy. But
this is
then,
awesome.
Yes. But then, so you experience this and then we start to compensate and we work our butts off to try to like erase that feeling. And then, you know, then you're on the flip side, which isn't healthy either, because like I had talked about earlier, you're starting to like forget to sleep and eat healthy and exercise. So his talk is all about meditation and mindfulness. And this is something that I've really tried to focus on over the past couple of months, and it has just really, really helped me. So I have a link to his talk and then also a link to this application called Headspace, and you can start doing guided meditations on there. And then also a book called Search Inside Yourself about meditation and mindfulness. And the cool thing about the book is it's actually written by a Google engineer. So it talks about meditation. Cool. Yeah, but also from, you know, from the mindset of somebody who's also an engineer. So those are my picks. And I just really highly recommend the meditation stuff. I've been all about it, and it really seems to help.
Has that been a recent thing for you, or have you always been into meditation?
No, it's definitely a new thing for me. I think like just because I'm like really, really high energy, and I can like have that personality of going all out, I sometimes go overboard, and I need to like chill out a little bit. And so the meditation has really helped me to, you know, take a break and just be healthy and, you know, not go overboard. And
yeah, sounds good. For my personal shout outs, I have this video. Have you seen the video WAT? Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. I was saving this one for when we get like a more JavaScripty person, and I feel like you would appreciate it because you've done JavaScript and Ruby. So so when we learned JavaScript, this was the first video that we watched.
Yep.
And it's great. It basically talks about some of the quirks of JavaScript. If you are learning or you already know JavaScript, I think you'd appreciate it if you haven't seen this already, but it's hilarious. It's a very short video. And I think JavaScript was written in like 6 weeks, right? Something insane like that.
It might have actually been 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Oh my goodness. So naturally, there are some things that are a little unpredictable about the way that it works. And this lovely talk highlights a couple of those, and it's really funny. The second is a plugin called elevator.js. I can't tell if it's a real thing or if it's just supposed to be a funny thing. Either way, it's very entertaining, and you should totally go to the website and try it out. But it basically allows you to do that. What is that thing called when you want to like go back to the top of the page?
Oh, like to scroll up?
Like that button that you push that's like back to the top. Yeah, to scroll back up. So it's a little JavaScript plugin for that, but it treats it like you're in an elevator ride. So when you press the button, like there's elevator music and there's like a ding, and it's just really cute.
That's awesome.
So definitely check that out. Yeah. And my last shout out is a blog post that we actually just put out called Object-Oriented Programming versus Functional Programming. So those are two words when I first learned to code that I heard just being thrown around a lot, and I had no idea what anyone was talking about. And so we finally wrote a blog post kind of describing in very simple, newbie-friendly terms what OOP looks like, and if you took the exact same code and did it the functional way, what that would look like. And we go into a little bit of the pros and cons and what the differences are. So if you've been curious about, you know, demystifying that terminology, one of our contributors, Bill Gathen, wrote a great blog post about it, and I encourage you to check it out on the Code Newbie site. If you want to join the conversation, you can join us on Code Newbie Discourse, our online forum for people excited about code, or you can chat with us every week on the Code Newbie Twitter chat. Just search for hashtag Code Newbie and tweet with us every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can learn more about that as well as show notes on this episode at codenewbie.org/podcast. If there's a topic you want to hear about or a guest you want to hear from, send us an email, hello@codenewbie.org. Thank you again, Amy, so much for joining us. You want to say goodbye?
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.